time for the ladies to be heard. Welcome to Muscle Girls, Inc., presented by RxMuscle.com. You are about to hear two of the smartest and sexiest IFBB pros tell it like it is. Here are your hosts, Colette Nelson and Chrissy Chin.
Welcome to the 14th episode of Muscle Girls, Inc. My name is Colette Nelson, IFBB professional bodybuilder, and I am joined by my super sexy co-host, IFBB pro figure competitor, Chrissy Chin. How you doing over there, baby?
Good. A little tired, but I know you're probably tired because you were tanning naked bodies again, weren't you?
I was, Chrissy. There's nothing more exciting than tanning naked bodies. I gotta tell you.
I'm gonna be your assistant.
You really should. We should just make it an all-male review.
I love it.
So now, I'm going to give you I know you were doing something. I got to hear about it because I was getting text messages from you. I'm doing a shoot, and I always want to hear about that. So before we get to that, we had the Atlantic States this weekend, so that's obviously why I was tanning and makeup, and I had to drive in the city at like 4:30 in the morning because I had girls staying in the city, and it's always problematic because I'm out in Long Island. I had to get to the city and fired up some hair and makeup, and these girls looked... I got new techniques, Chrissy. I'm doing, like, little diamonds now in the eyes and around the... I got new techniques, man. I get better at this every time I do it. And, I mean, not to brag. Hey, not to brag or anything. But, no, I mean, they turned out really well. I got some new styles, so...
You need to take pictures.
I know, I did,
actually.
And
start a portfolio.
I really do. That's what I was like. I was like, oh, my God, grab my camera because they turned out so good. I'm like, I got to stop, you know, not doing that, you know? I've got to stop and savor the moment, Chrissy. Savor the moment. But before that, speaking of shoots, we had E! Entertainment out at the house on Thursday. So Dave...
Really?
Yeah, Dave tells me on Wednesday, hey, Colette, what are you doing around 2 on Thursday? This is how my life works. I'm like, I don't know. What should I be doing at 2 on Thursday? You know, he's like, make sure you're ready because E! Entertainment's going to be here. They're going to be out here shooting us and our... in our house and just living the life and kind of like wow, oh my gosh.
So, wow, that is awesome.
Yeah, so it was good. They're doing another special on female bodybuilding, and they came out and they were doing a little interview with Dave and an interview with me, and it was, you know, just, you know, basically people are interested. It's everyone says no one's interested in female bodybuilding, mm-hmm. but they are. That's what I don't get. Everyone's always wanting to do a documentary. They always want to find out about it. And everyone thinks it's always on a negative tone. I'm telling you, Chrissy, they're just curious. They just are curious about the whole thing. So it's going to be very positive. I love the producer guy. He was really cool. So,
and we... So it went well then.
Definitely went well. Definitely went
awesome,
well.
Awesome.
So a couple other little interesting tidbits. Of course, I have to complain about something. And my back. Chrissy, I messed up my back. I don't know if it was a combination of, you know, deadlifting and mm-hmm. squatting like 2 days later and doing that for like 6 consecutive weeks, and it just finally caught up with me. And then I'm bending over doing hair and makeup, running around tanning, and it just literally come around 6 o'clock on Saturday. I was like, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here because it was killing me. My back was just, it was just the L4 and L5, and it was kind of that dull, annoying pain. It wasn't like I was debilitated.
Like,
yes, and I was done. I was like, I got to get out of here because you know how late these shows go.
If you get on the airplane and come to California, I will fix your back.
Where is my Chrissy Chin when I need her to freaking... Remember when you were helping me with my shoulder? Oh, I love
yes,
that.
Remember? I go, just lay on the floor. I'm going to work on it. Increase your range of motion. You're like, all right, I'll just lay here. I'm like, good. We actually really did.
The magic hands. You know, if I had you working on me every day, I'd be like 100%.
Jeez, all right. I might have to move
that
along.
That's what we need pictures of. Sorry.
I know, right? Where are those pictures? Thank you, you know? Well, Chrissy, what'd you do this weekend? Talk to me.
I will probably be able to tell more later on once we know more. I think we're supposed to keep it on the DL, but we're working on another
secret.
New exciting project. Yes.
I love that.
Yeah, but it's going to be a very exciting project, and Troy and I are both involved in it, which makes it even nicer. But as soon as I can tell anyone, you know, I'll be calling you and telling you more information.
Oh, I can't
but
wait.
But it was very exciting.
That's good. That's very good.
Yeah. We like new projects.
Yes, that's always good. You know us, we can't be stopped. You know, we don't ever sit still. We have to come up with new exciting endeavors. Ain't no stopping us. Get the song, Jeff. Ain't no stopping us. He's good.
Wait, do that again, Jeff.
Come on, that's from the movie Breaking. That's
yeah,
way back.
Breaking.
Come on, man.
Freaking love Breaking.
Oh, my. Jeff is multi-talented.
He's unbelievable, Chrissy. I'm telling you. He's like a dream. He's like a vision.
Well, Barry, you got a good one.
Well, we'll take it down a notch because, This Today Show really is going to challenge those that wake up in the morning and say, you know what? I just can't get to the gym. My life just really sucks. Well, you know what? You might think differently after you hear from our next three guests. Because I don't know, Christy, we have some good stories to tell today. And I'm sitting there. I don't even have, when I talk about my back pain, I don't even want to talk about it because that means nothing compared to what you hear when you hear from women that you might not even know their names, but you will after today's show. Brandi Johnson, a good friend of mine who's been in fitness since I remember, because her and I started at Michigan State when we were like 19 years old, been in fitness her whole life. She's a health professional, teaches aerobics, yoga, step, spin, personal trainer. And she, her story is unbelievable, what she's been through. And she wakes up every day and she has a smile on her face. And that is, that's awesome. And I think that's what we all have to kind of learn something from today's guest. So we've got Brandi Johnson on the show today. And who else, Christy? Talk to us about some of these other people.
I know we also have Vicki Nixon, who is a recently retired IFBB pro. So she's battled numerous things. So it's really awesome to see that, you know, even after one obstacle, she came back and had another obstacle, but she still is training, looking great. So it's nice to see that, you know, she's not letting anything stop her. And we also have an awesome, awesome lady. I actually met her on the boards, and she's on RX Muscle, and her name is Jill Crean, and she's just an amazing woman. But she's actually, she was first diagnosed with cancer at the age of 22, and then she was in remission, and she was cured of that. And then just last year, they diagnosed her with a different form of cancer. So she's had some really tough, tough battles, and doctors are telling her, no, no, you'll never be able to compete. But she's going to prove them wrong, because she's going to be stepping on stage soon.
Oh, I love that. Those stories, like, I get chills. That's so incredible, the human mind, what you can do. And when doctors say things like that, they can crush that spirit. And I'm telling you, you've seen it, we've seen it, you're going to see it with this, with Jill, that the human mind can really heal your body and make you do things and recover from things and get back into the game. But if you, it's the mind that gets weak, really. It's not always the body. And I think you're going to see that with these, with the people we have on today. I mean, they just are so strong-willed. But before we get into the guests, you know, we always have our little shtick that we have to do. We'll lighten up the show a little bit. We also want to thank ALRI Industries, of course, and JoJo's Energy Drink for all their support. We couldn't do it without them. Anything new and exciting over there at ALRI?
Let's see.
What isn't new and exciting? There's always something new and exciting over there.
Well, you know about the porn store, because you guys already tried that, so that's released, but we're working on, Arthur's been reworking on the taste of WTF, you know, the pre-workout.
Oh, yeah.
It's an amazing product, but it really does not taste so good.
Right.
So he's actually working on changing up the taste, and he gave Troy and I a sample, and it is awesome, awesome, awesome.
I mean, it's as good as Chained Out, because we're really hooked to that stuff over here.
Yes, I actually think it tastes better than Chained Up, the sample I had.
It's dangerous. Dangerous.
So that's going to be awesome. And it's like incredible pumps when you train. Like, I was training shoulders that day, and my delts were so pumped, I could not, like, lift them up after my last bed.
Now, what's in WTF again? What's the breakdown?
I think we'll have to, I haven't seen the final formulation. They're still, you know, working on that. So once I have that, I will definitely let everyone know.
Very good.
But, you know, he's a genius, so whatever he's doing, it's definitely working. Keep doing it, big guy.
Yep.
You have to tell me, I have to ask about the show, the Atlantic States this past weekend, because there was an amazing, I saw the video, a 16-year-old that took the overall of fitness, so please tell me about her.
You know, Christy, we're actually going to get her on the show, I think, next week.
Okay.
I wanted to talk to you about her. I did her tan the day before, and this is quite possibly, and she's blowing up on the boards, and we've got some very, I'm telling you, it's like the Britney Spears thing. The guys are going a little too crazy over there, you know what I mean? Like, dude, she's 16, you know? She is the cutest thing, and I'm telling you, if she doesn't turn pro this year, I'll be really shocked, and I'm not even sure if that would be the youngest pro at 16 years old.
Do they have an age limit?
I don't know.
When you can
Jeff, any insight on that?
No idea.
Jeff has zero idea.
All I know is that seriously, when she stepped out, I had no idea that that was the 16-year-old they were talking about. And her routine was unbelievable because of her background in, you know, gymnastics.
Yeah.
No, she's very talented. I think she'll be pro this year.
She's doing the junior nationals. So it could happen there. Mm-hmm. She is the cutest thing you've ever seen. Well, Chris,
her physique does not look like a 16-year-old.
No, I know. These kids are not looking 16 anymore. It's very scary, Chrissy. As long as I'm still looking like I'm 25, that's all I care about, Chrissy. 25,
but you
Chrissy.
Are 25. That's but you are 25.
I am. Thank you. I know. I don't even know why I'm saying it like that.
She meant looking 25, you know, because everyone says that she's 23, so she wants to look older than whatever age
right,
is, so I
know.
Understand.
Thank you, Jeff. It's so true.
It's the maturity factor.
It's maturity. I mean, at least let me be 25, you know what I mean? Oh, well, Chrissy, we got to roll into our next segment, our most favorite segment.
Oh, gosh, you know I love this segment, our Did You Knows.
And they're getting better every week. People are just really
like
messed
those?
Up in this world.
Oh, they are. They are. And, you know, some of them, when I read them, I'm like, there's just no way. You know, when you read them, don't you like, there's just no way someone
and
actually
these are
did that.
In the news. So it's not like we're, you know what I mean? We're not making this
not
up.
Not things made up. It's people actually doing these things.
All right, so let it roll, Chrissy.
Okay, so I'll start with our first one. So this was actually kind of sad. It's actually four teenage boys in Tampa, Florida are being charged as adults for allegations of sexually assaulting a 13-year-old boy. So what happened was these are middle school children, okay? I don't remember anything that happened like this when I was in middle school. But supposedly these four teenagers sodomized this poor little 13-year-old numerous times with broomsticks and hockey sticks, okay? And the sad thing is that it was going on for, you know, a period of time, and multiple people had witnessed it, and no one ever said anything. So when the school officials finally questioned them, they admitted to, you know, sexually assaulting the victim. So, you know, believe it or not, that they can spend up to 120 years in prison if they're convicted on all four counts.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, probably, I mean, what they did is so criminal. It's sickening, actually, what people are.
Yeah.
What happens to these kids that would possess them to do that? I don't know what happens. Like, is it the parenting? Is it the television? I mean, what happens? Are they just chemically wrong? It seems so bizarre.
Like, do you remember things like happening like that in middle school when you were?
No, it don't.
Middle school?
But that's,
no, right?
That's the point. What's happening in society? Is it, you know,
now? Yeah.
That's my exactly. Well, speaking of interesting thoughts, and I gotta be honest with you, Chrissy, I have said this so many times, and I really believe this, and this could disturb people or whatever, but I don't think certain people should have kids. I really don't. I really believe that there's a certain. I mean, number one, it's such an interesting phenomenon that happens. You have a baby and all of a sudden you're supposed to know what you're supposed to do, right? Well, you're hoping you have average intelligence and you know enough to be a caregiver, but some people don't. And I honestly think people are having babies that have no clue on how to be a mother or how to be a father or whatever. Well, a British court says a woman isn't smart enough to be a mom. And now this might seem inhumane, but she's a 24-year-old girl. Her IQ actually was like 71, and for people that don't know much about IQs, anywhere between 90 and 109 is what's deemed kind of normal. And she just has no parenting skills. She doesn't bring enough diapers. She forgets her keys. She doesn't know anything about the basic skills of being a mommy, about being just, even if you didn't know much, she was just messing up all those skills. So, I mean, this just certain people, I don't know. What do you do? I mean, everybody can have a child, but it just seems like, can everybody or should everybody have a child? So they're
definitely
basically made a court decision, and the baby's actually up for adoption. And is that right or wrong? It's a debate. I mean, is it right or wrong? What do you think, Chrissy?
It's hard because you want to make sure that, you know, the child has the best care. And are you really going to judge someone based on their IQ if they're loving, caring parents? It's hard. That's
no,
a really
this
tough
is hard.
One.
But if she
yeah,
doesn't,
I agree with you. This that not everyone should have children.
There's so many people. Look at how messed up kids are today. And, you know, you cannot blame everything on the parents because you could have two kids that come from the same household at once. Mm-hmm. You know, but you have to say, we know that certain behavior patterns stem from how they were raised. And there's just a lot of people having babies these days that just shouldn't be parents.
Oh, I agree. And believe it or not, this weekend we were in the gym parking lot, and Troy's like, oh my gosh. I was like, what? He goes, look over there. He goes, they're hanging their baby outside the car window. Like, this is so serious. I look over, right, and there was this SUV, and whoever was driving the vehicle decides that they want to hang their little baby outside the car door. As they were driving, it was moving. The vehicle was moving through the parking lot, driving.
Okay, now, that's totally not right. There should be some. This so is what I'm talking about. I don't know. What are people thinking? I don't know.
I have no idea. I could not believe it. I was like, oh, my gosh. And, you know, they were too far, so they couldn't say anything. You know, they were across the parking lot. They were leaving, you know, the premises. But I was just like, there's just no way.
No. It was disturbing. Very disturbing.
Okay, we're going to get a little gross with the next one, okay?
We love gross.
You know when, you know, sometimes you get that little, like, vomit in the back of your throat, you're like, oh, I got that one.
Jeff, be prepared to throw up in your mouth, Jeff.
I feel it coming. Go ahead, Chrissy.
The regurgitation is happening.
Well, this happened in Phoenix. So a light rail train, okay, was taken out of service one Tuesday morning because someone left a nasty surprise. So it turns out that this gentleman inside the train decided to smudge his feces all over the inside of the train. Okay? Supposedly, he was, like, flicking his feces and playing with it.
Okay, Chrissy. I don't want any feces flicked or played with. What about you, Jeff?
I've never flicked nor played with it, ever.
Ever.
I just disposed of it.
Yeah, I mean, people are off. How about that? Can I just say that? People are off. And speaking of very off people, this next one is beyond my scope of understanding. Texas mother charged with feeding her child feces. Okay. Speaking of smearing and smudging and flicking, she was accused of repeatedly smearing human waste on her 3-year-old daughter's intravenous feeding line, potentially causing life-threatening infections. So apparently, wow. Yeah. So I remember when I was working in a hospital and we had children that were on IV nutrition or on feeding tubes. I mean, repeatedly smearing human waste on the feeding tube.
Okay, what would possess her to do that?
It's beyond my scope of understanding. And so she's facing prison time for this. And, the child was admitted with a high fever, a long history of chronic diarrhea, and she had a catheter, and the doctors conducted the blood test, and they found positive for foreign bacteria common in feces, and they found that the mother was responsible.
That is so sad. So imagine what she was actually doing at home. That was in a hospital, right? So could you imagine when they're at home, what she's
I gotta go back to this. Certain people, are you with me? Certain people should not have children. This is what I'm saying.
Oh, absolutely.
So we could go back to that one that we talked about earlier with that woman. Maybe it was in the child's best defense of the child that she be removed from that mother because she could have been, in danger. I mean, I'm just going
to... Well, feces is not the healthiest of things to be feeding your child.
No, I'd say that's on the bottom of the list, Chrissy. The bottom of the list.
Oh, geez. These people are crazy.
Yeah, very off.
Well, you sent me this interesting one, and I thought that it would be fun to just share it with our listeners. These were actually some interesting stuff about 3% peroxide that was actually written by a lady named Becky Ramsey of Indiana, who said that her husband's in the medical field for over 36 years, and most doctors don't tell you this about peroxide because they would lose thousands of dollars because of all these things that you can use it for. So I figured we'd share some of these with our listeners because it's really interesting. And you know what? A bottle of peroxide is what? About $1?
Yeah.
You know, in the stores and stuff.
I just bought one because I was like, you know what? After reading that, I went out and actually bought some peroxide because I didn't realize all the things you could do with it.
Like, yeah, there's like multiple uses for it. So I thought it'd be nice if we share it with our listeners. Because I was like, wow, really? So I found them quite interesting.
Yeah, let's read through the ones that are really kind of cool.
So if you take a capful, you know, the white, usually it's a white cap that's on top of the peroxide bottle. If you put that in your mouth for, 10 minutes daily, then spit it out, you won't get any more canker sores and your teeth will be whiter.
I was dying about that. I totally think I should do that. Because think about it, that, those canker sores, it's annoying as shit. And then a little capful. This one's easy, soaking your toothbrush in peroxide obviously frees it of germs. The countertops is a no-brainer. After rinsing your wooden cutting board, obviously kills salmonella and bacteria. All right, give me some other ones, Chrissy.
Which is really good. You can also soak any, if you get an infection or a cut, if you soak your infection or cut with the peroxide for about 5 to 10 minutes several times a day, her husband, who is, you know, like I said, in the medical field for over 36 years, he actually saw that it healed gangrene.
Oh, I know. That was great to hear. Yeah, and then this is another idea of filling a spray bottle 50-50 with peroxide and water and using it as a disinfectant in your bathroom. I'm totally going to do that upstairs. Just spray, you know, at least you keep everything clean, especially with, like, the swine flu, whatever. I mean, it's not a bad idea.
You guys are going to have the cleanest house ever.
I know. You whipped me around that peroxide. Because I'm ahead of the game, Chrissy. I went out and bought it.
You are. You're ahead of me. And then for people that have a lot of sinus issues, they said if you tilt your head back and spray into your nostrils with 50-50% mixture whenever you have a cold, right? Or, you know, plugged up sinuses and it's hard to breathe, it will actually bubble up and help kill the bacteria. And you hold it for a few minutes and then you blow your nose into tissue.
Who knew? I didn't know that one. And then another one, if you have a terrible toothache, right, you go to the dentist right away, whatever, but if you put a cap full of 3% peroxide in your mouth again for like about 10 minutes, the pain will be lessened. So it's an interesting little product there, good old peroxide. Who knew, Chrissy?
Who knew is right. I didn't know all those. That's, I'm definitely going to go buy a bottle.
Yep. Well, you know what? What about the email bag this week? Anything exciting happen on your end with the emails since they've been getting better and better every week since we've got such insane fans, which we love,
by
the way.
They are getting better and better. And, you know, they actually get upset if you don't read, you know, their email.
Oh, I know. It's completely...
So I just, you know, and this guy got very upset at me, okay? So he got so upset that he sent me a second email and even CC'd his wife on it. So I figured I'd share the first email so that way you get an idea of where this guy's coming from.
Okay.
Okay, all right. So he said, you know, says, Chrissy, my name is George. He lives in Texas. He's been married for 15 years with his wife named Marcia, and they have three beautiful kids. He said, he goes, he spends his lifetime, like, putting her down. Okay, he puts her down, and he says, you know, when they were in high school and then she wanted to go to school, he decides to knock her up just so she couldn't pursue what she wanted to do. Okay, so he says over the past 10 years, he's wearing down her self-esteem, her self-confidence, and he's mean to her, and he says she should know her place in the household and in the bedroom and everything. All right, so then he goes into start more in detail, right? He goes, she needs to be all dolled up and smelling sweet for me when I get into bed. Okay. And then he goes, now all of a sudden she's listening to Muscle Girls, Inc. on Tuesday nights. He goes, which, not to be crude, he tells me, is the night that he had chosen several years ago to have their weekly anal sex.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
I mean, and this is a real email. I'm looking at it. I mean, this stuff is not made up, just so everybody knows.
No, it is not made up. So he calls our show stinking, and he goes, you know, now it's affecting me invading my wife's bunghole, he calls it.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so he doesn't stop. He just keeps going on and on, saying that we're ruining his marriage. And he goes, I hope you guys are happy. He goes, you know, you two are show hosts. He goes, do your husbands or boyfriends give you permission?
Wow.
He goes, I would not have it.
Chrissy, it's the gift that keeps giving. Chrissy, I have to just finish this up with Susie Ching again. Yes, I got one more. And it says, I hope you're not mad at me, but my cousin Susie Ching Peng Lu contacted Chrissy without my knowledge, and I was in the library studying for my exams, but really, I was watching this, and I get a link to one of these crazy tribute freaking videos of Dave, right? And then it says, the hottest images were that of Dave flanked between Steve Blechman and Ron Avedon. That would be the fantasy for me. To referee an oil match between you, Dave, Steve Blechman, and Ron Avedon, would be nice to see Ron lift and carry you while Steve spanked you. Hot. Oh, I must stop. I'm in the library, but now I need to change my clothes. I mean, this is definitely a character. I mean...
we got to get on video.
We definitely do. So apparently that does seem like an interesting visual. I don't know, Chrissy. We got some great fans. That's all I have to say. Some fantastic fans.
Oh, between that video and then the gentleman whose marriage we're ruining because we're interfering with his anal sex day, I don't know what to do.
I hate interfering with people's anal sex day. I really do. I hate that. It's not right. It's not right, Kristen.
Oh, well, let's go to our forum question. Well, this week's forum question actually comes from a PM that I got from RX Muscle Place.
Okay.
And it's from a gentleman by the name of Keith, and he just wanted to let us know first that, you know, he loved the interview with Jennifer Lintow and the Beast that we did last week.
People love that interview, by the way.
Yeah,
Kristen,
they really did. Yeah. Jen was great. I thought Jen was great.
Definitely did a good job.
Well, his question for us is, before you met your boyfriend or husband, or when Colette, before Colette met Dave, what kind of guys did you two date? Bodybuilders, model types, or just average Joes?
Well, Christy, it's really interesting, this question, because I get this a lot all the time. And
I really want to hear yours.
You know, it's kind of, now remember, I started training when I was 19, and I kind of dated this, I kind of fell in that bodybuilding trap. So I was dating bodybuilders, but it was just because they kind of understood the lifestyle. So mm-hmm. I kind of got caught up in that whole dating bodybuilder scene. But then there was this weird stint. I mean, seriously, so it was only bodybuilders. And then, I hate to say that because it really wasn't like that was all I wanted to date. It was just kind of, I was always in the gym, and that's kind of who was attracted to me, whatever. And then I meet this guy. His name's Jeff. And he'll probably never. Oh, yeah, yeah. Hi, Jeff. Probably this guy.
The producer?
Yeah, Jeff. Jeff back then. And I wonder if he'd ever listen to this, but it's really, Chrissy, I decided, let me try and roll the dice. Okay. And this was right before I left for New York to finish my master's, okay? And he had long black hair down to his ass. Very good-looking guy. About, literally, I weighed more than he did. He was about 6 feet, maybe 160 pounds. I was 5 feet. I was still, like, my typical 180. And I thought, let me just roll the dice with, like, he was, like, a detail car guy. Because Michigan has really big for cars. I mean, completely opposite from me. I thought, let me just stop with the whole bodybuilder thing. He smoked, Chrissy. He was a smoker. Ooh. I mean, this is completely the opposite guy because I'm like really a person that doesn't like, I'm into all kinds, you know? So, needless to say, it was 3 months. That was all it lasted. And it kind of was coming a near end when I would get up in the morning and he'd be like wanting to lay in bed all day long. And I'm like, dude, I got to go to the gym. And he used to drive him crazy. And then I realized it's like, yo, you got to understand that my lifestyle, you know? And when he stopped kind of dealing with me and my obsession with the gym, and that started to annoy him, our relationship started to get annoying. And then, I mean, the rest is history. So then I moved to New York, and then I dated another guy that was in the gym just because he wasn't really a bodybuilder, but he was trained, and he took good care of himself. But I really think the bottom line is this, when people ask that question, because, no, do I need to date a bodybuilder? No, believe me, not necessarily. It's not really what it's about. But they had to understand my life and my life and what I need to do. And for me, it's like brushing my teeth. Like, if I don't go to the gym, then it's like I don't feel 100% whole. And when I travel, I like to kind of get to the gym. And so, hey, man, I don't care if you're a bodybuilder, but do you understand my lifestyle? And it's kind of hard for somebody that doesn't do it to get it. So that, I don't know if that answers the question, but what do you think, Chrissy?
Oh, I think you answered it perfectly.
I mean, give me your, like, brief summary before Troy. Troy is the only one. We know this. Troy is a dream.
Troy is my soulmate. Troy is the only man for me, okay? Well, when I was younger, in my younger days before Troy, you know, I dated around a lot. I won't lie. I was a little party animal. I dated around a lot.
Chrissy,
but, you know, the
party
date,
animal?
I was out of control.
I was all over the dance floor, dancing
on the bars, getting kicked out of strip clubs. I was crazy.
Wow.
I mean, Jeff over there is kind of crossing his legs right now, Chrissy.
I was crazy. I wonder if I should share one story with you guys.
Yes, let's hear the story, Chrissy.
I will share one strip club story with you guys. All right, this was actually before Troy and I got married, but we were dating, right? So we go out for one of our friends' birthday. We're in a strip club. There's probably like 30 of us there, but there's just Troy, myself, and one of our friends, Chris, sitting at a table, right? So the stripper comes by and thinks she's so cute and decides to rub her boobies all in Troy's head, on the back of his head. You know, so she looks at me as she's doing it, and she thinks she's so funny. You know, she gives me that look like, ha-ha, right? And I'm like, no, this little tramp just did not do that, right? So then, like, no joke, like 5-10 minutes later, she decides to come around and do it again.
Oh, no.
So she does the same thing, like takes her boobies and decides to rub it all in Troy's head. But she obviously knows that we're together, and she looks at me, and I jumped up, right? And I go, oh, you think you're funny? And I went to grab her, and I was going to throw her down, and she ran so fast in those stripper heels.
Oh, shit.
And Troy and my friend Chris grabbed me. They're like, stop. So all the bouncers come running up, and they're like, excuse me, this is their problem. I go, if that girl comes near me, there's going to be a problem.
I would love to have seen this, because I almost, you know what I mean? This is Chrissy we're talking about here.
So that was one of my stories. But yes, I used to date, but you know, it was always like one date, maybe 2 dates, because I always found something wrong with the guy. But I dated all types, you know, tall, short, smart, not so smart, blonde, Italian, you know, so I wasn't really so picky, you know, but I always found something wrong. And I remember my dad used to be like, wow, he goes, you don't even give the guys a chance. It's like one date and they're out. And I'm like, Dad, but it's not working.
Right. Yeah, so it's a tough call. Like you said, it's like, I really don't discriminate. I like all kinds. As long as you kind of get me, you could be skinny, fat. I mean, really, I mean, to me, love is blind, but it's like, you got to get me. And I'm a complicated soul.
But you're so lovable.
Right, but there's something about me that, you know, he can tolerate for at least 15 minutes now. For at least 2 hours on the radio show, you know? Well, Chris, you know, we got to give our sponsor some L-O-V-E, and we'll be back in about 2 minutes to wrap it up with our guests.
Sounds great.
Muscle Girls, Inc. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, author L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRindustries.com today.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit SpeciesNutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. SpeciesNutrition.com.
If you're a serious athlete, you know you need energy to keep going. Good energy.
I got that JoJo swagger.
This is good energy. Only 4 calories and no sugar. Essential antioxidants, acai berry, and green tea extracts in pure spring water. 100% fresh and awesome flavor.
I got that JoJo swagger.
Now you've got a new workout partner. JoJo Energy.
I got that JoJo swagger.
The drink with good energy is coming soon.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Hi, this is Javelle Little Bunyania, and you are listening to Muscle Girls Inc.
Our first guest turned pro at the Team Universe in 2004. She went on to place in the lightweight classes as a pro bodybuilder at the Sacramento and Charlotte Pro. Then, her crippling injuries finally caught up with her, and she had to make a decision to leave competitive bodybuilding. She overcame hepatitis, a knee injury, 2 shoulder injuries, fibromyalgia, and she suffered a near-fatal car crash, leaving her with 3 blown discs in her neck and back. Please welcome the ever-exciting Vicki Nixon to Muscle Girls, Inc. Hi, Vicki.
Hi, girl. Vicki. How are you doing, Colette?
Good.
Good. It's an honor to be on your show.
Well, you know, today's show we talked about a little bit earlier in the show is we are really trying to inspire people that, you know, wake up in the morning, they say, you know what? My life sucks. I can't do it anymore. Everything's just terrible. I don't want to live anymore. Well, you know what? When you hear, like, we have you on today, and when you hear everything you've been through, you still wake up with a smile on your face. You still have dreams. You still are in the gym. You know, it might not be the way it used to be, but you're still there. And I always say you're a forever bodybuilder because it's still in your heart. It doesn't leave you. And I think your story is going to inspire people, and that's kind of what we're doing today. And let me get a little background so people kind of know more about Vicki Nixon.
Okay.
So when did you start competing, and how long before, you know, you were competing before you turned pro?
Oh, my God, Colette. I started, I guess, in the gym when I was 23. I pretty much had my sights, I think, set on competing from the get-go because I saw Rachel McClish and Corey Everson. And actually, I was on stage for the first time, I guess, 8 months after I started lifting.
Wow. So how many years, yeah. What year was that?
1980, oh, geez, I'm 48 now. You're pushing me back too far.
No, gosh. So you've been in the industry a long time, Vicki.
Like, yeah, too long, yeah. I mean, if I'm 48 and I started at 23, you know, do the math.
Yeah.
And I just, when did I turn pro?
Yeah.
Not till 2004, and I was honored to meet you at that show.
Yeah, remember that?
Girl.
It was an awesome, that was awesome. It's been
unbelievable. I never thought I would meet Colette Nelson. The infamous.
And Chrissy, she freaking kicked my ass at that show. I'm like 40 pounds, like heavier, you know what I mean? And there's Vicki just kicking ass. You were in such good shape. And Vicki, you just only got better and better, I'm telling you. And then,
well, thank you, Colette.
Here we are.
Here we are. I mean, I never gave up all the adversities. Actually, I think bodybuilding saved me from so many things, you know. The injuries actually, even though I sustained so many injuries, they did protect the spine itself.
Right.
You know,
right.
In the end. And at this point, I do suffer. I have 5 herniated discs.
5?
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, and we still haven't finished the MRI, so it could be more.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, but, so you know.
So since bodybuilding helped you so much, how hard was it for you to actually retire from competitive bodybuilding?
I still struggle with it daily, Colette, to tell you the truth. It's been since June, the Jan Tan in 2007. Here I am 2 years later, and I still suffer with it because it becomes so much of who you are. Mm-hmm. I get these awesome emails, you know, and some of them just break your heart because they're like, come back, we need you. Mm-hmm. And it's been very hard, but I think what you have to do is just jump back into other things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Start exploring new journeys, and which is what I've done.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know that's it's hard because you do identify with yourself. Like, I am a best. I'll always say, Vicki, you're forever a bodybuilder because it never really leaves who you are. I mean, it's just like you're just kind of exploring different ideas and different things that you haven't been able to do because competition takes up so much time. It really does,
and those things that you the other things that you want to do, you just can't find that time.
Yep.
But like you said, I'm still in the gym. I'm in the gym 4 or 5 days a week. I'm doing my little rehab exercises. I still consider myself a bodybuilder who can't compete. You know.
Well, let's go back. I want everybody to know, you know, we're kind of talking about you turning pro, the journey to retirement. But let's talk about when the battles all started and how the gym and life kind of, you know, all the trials and tribulations. Like, let's start with the hepatitis C, because that was a while, many years ago, right? And it's kind of...
Yeah, I probably had that much longer. I was diagnosed back in 1990, 1991. Again, I'm not good with dates. So much has happened to me, it's hard to pin down a date. But, I was diagnosed with hepatitis C. But prior to that, growing up as a teenager, early 20s, I was considered pretty much a party animal. You know, I was a weekend warrior. I did have an extensive background of being known to disappear for a couple days here and there. I'm not going to lie to you. And long story short, I had a lot of bad experiences with the wrong crowds. And when I found bodybuilding, I think that saved me from that aspect. But then, you know, too, bodybuilding is very addictive within itself.
I know. Yeah.
So I found a new addiction. Okay, exactly where am I going with this? We had the hepatitis C, and they don't know where I got it. It's bloodborne, you know.
Yeah.
It could have been a tattoo. It could have been, you know, different things, because way back when they didn't even test for that.
Right.
You know, things weren't as quite as sanitary and sterile as they are now. And from there, see the hepatitis C. I worked through that. I was on that for three years.
Well, I mean, you did the interferon. Did you lose your hair, Vicki?
I started to lose my hair, Colette, probably 3 weeks after I started the interferon. God. So I went ahead and just cut it off completely. Yeah. And while being on the interferon, I still did my best to get into the gym. But, you know, it's kind of like, some could say that it's actually worse than the chemo. Mm-hmm. Because it's so aggressive, and you're on it, like, 3 days a week. You know, it's not like chemo. You go on, go off. This is constant. So,
is it IV?
What's that?
Is it interferon IV?
Yeah, you have to. You have a choice. Do you want to travel and see your doctor 3 days a week, or do you want to do it yourself? So I had to self-inject myself, which I hated. I hated needles.
So every day? Was that every day?
The first bout of it was just interferon. I had to do that every other day. And then for 6 months, and that didn't seem to be working. My levels were still like in the millions, my liver enzyme.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so then you have to go off it for a little while, because it can you know, be bad for you after a while, like anything. Too much of anything can make you worse. And then I had to go on. They came up with interferon cross Rebitron, which is a pill and a shot. So this went on and on. On and off for 3 years. Each time they would, you know, try a different combination.
And but you were not competing then at this time. You're still training, but you weren't. Yeah.
Right. Okay. I would literally do one set and just kind of sit there and think, "Oh my God, I'm doing this."
Right.
But after 3 years of that, I was cured. They consider me in remission now. But it, as you know, it's still in your blood. It's just not activated.
Right.
You know. So. Yeah, I mean, that was only one of the many things I had to go through at that time.
And then when did the first injury happen? Because I know we had the your knee injuries, and like, kind of walk me through
the first one was I guess I was having a lot of back problems well before I started to come back and compete again. So I had some MRIs done of my lower back because I was experiencing sciatica. I think we've all had that at one time or the other. Mm-hmm. You know, and they found L4 L5 was blown. And that was the first injury, supposedly. But then, after I started competing again, my knee started to go. So we find out that it's bone on bone in my knees. So I finally did have the right knee scoped, and they said that I need a complete knee femoral replacement, but I'm only 48. So I'm not even going to go there, you know.
That's like a whole new, that's where they, isn't it basically a brand new, like a bionic knee almost, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But they said if we do that to you now at 48 and you continue to do what you're doing, you're going to tear it up.
I know.
So you have a choice. Do you want to walk?
Right.
You know, do you want to live quality life for the rest of your years, or do you want to keep beating yourself up? So that's pretty much what made me stop and think, you know, is the bodybuilding going to be worth it?
Right.
And then from there, as you know, there was the shoulder, the car accident. That's what really drew the line, because I'm going to be honest with you right now. Even though I said I had a retirement in 2007, my dream in the back of my mind, even through all this adversity, was to make a surprise comeback when I was 50.
No, I know. I'm telling you, Vicki, you're the most tenacious person. I really thought, and I think you could have, because you know what? It's like you find new ways of training. I think you would have worked around the knees. You would have worked around the shoulders. I mean, you would have, but
you do.
But this car accident, like, let's go back there, because I knew I was, I remember Rich actually was like devastated, because you know, our friend Rich and Chrissy, you know, Rich.
Right.
Uh-huh. Rich Haas, by the way. And like, awesome. Walk us through that. December 2008. This was the bottom line here.
Yeah, on our way to see my mom and dad in Hilton Head, South Carolina for Christmas, we picture this, we got our little sport track truck packed to the hilt with Christmas gifts, all wrapped up. We're halfway to my mom and dad's in Dunn, North Carolina. We're going to get back on 95. We got off to get gas, just full tank of gas. I look to the right, we're midway through the intersection, and I said, Brian, we're going to have an accident. A lady T-boned us going approximately 55, 60 miles an hour. He was driving. She hit my side. And I saw it coming, so I braced, which is the worst thing you can do, you know. long story short,
your natural reaction.
Yeah, you know, and bless his heart, he didn't even remember me saying it, so he was just like Gumby.
Wow.
No injuries whatsoever. We had our two small dogs in the back, one's 3 pounds and one's 6 pounds. So they were like little bullets, you know, rocketing through the truck. We rolled, they say two times, and then we came to, ironically, landed on all four wheels, and the truck caught on fire exactly the minute we touched the ground, you know. But from that act, and I'm an EMT firefighter, so
yeah,
I know you get the heck out of Dodge. You get out of the truck. But I'm looking for my dogs.
Your dogs, so, I know.
You know, where are my dogs? They're up under the front seat, under his feet. Uh-huh. Bless his heart. He's still sitting there wondering what happened, and my husband. But from that accident, I waited, I'd say 2 weeks to get, you know, try to figure out what the heck was going on. I didn't, stupid me didn't even go right to the hospital. You know, we're super people. We think, oh, nothing's wrong. I'm fine. Shake it off. Well, long story short, I did start to, I went to the doctor, and they did an examination. They said, we got to get MRIs right away. Come to find out, I have T1, T2, a new cervical herniation, and it just made everything that I had worse. And on top of that, the tears in my shoulders, I guess because I was holding on and bracing.
Mm-hmm.
So there goes the shoulders. And that's where I'm at now. I'm still in rehab. I'm seeing a neurosurgeon next week, pain management doctor next week, because I am not one to take pills. I won't do narcotics. So you can imagine the enormous, the pain that I'm in. But I still go to the gym. I still do what I can do every single day, and thank God that I can do it, girl.
Right. That's I mean, that's just it. It has to be like a new way of thinking. I mean, because Vicky, I know I kind of talked to you about this in an email. I mean, I both of my labrums are torn on the anterior.
Right.
And it's like, I just have to find new ways of training and getting around that. And it's hard mentally to remember how you were.
Cause I used to be. Yeah.
I mean, look, I can't even complain. Like, your injuries are like, you know, but it's, and I think about what that does to me mentally, because I remember when I used to be able to do ridiculous stuff, and I just can't do it anymore. But
I
mean, you just, like, how do you get your frame of mind? Like, when you go in there, you're like, you know what? I used to be able to do this on shoulder presses. Now I'm doing this. I mean, how do you do it mentally?
Yeah, well, you know, like you said, I'll go from 50-pound dumbbell presses over my head to now I'm using 10.
Oh, God, yeah.
And that 10 pounds, Colette, is more painful than any heavy weights that I ever, ever used, because I am so injured. But I keep thinking in the back of my mind, this is what really probably in the end saved my life.
Yep.
And I mean, I get goosebumps just telling you this now, that I absolutely am a firm believer in following your dreams, overcoming adversity. And I know what I'm doing in the gym now is helping me. It's not hurting me. I'm working around the injuries. You know, I'm not saying screw it, like I'm going to do what they tell me not to do. You know,
right.
For a while I did do that.
Right. No, I know. Yeah.
And you know, 48 years old, you just know your body is unable to take that. And without pain pills, everybody looks at me like I'm growing horns. How can you live through the pain? But that's, see my DVD. Remember I told you about that?
Yeah.
Beyond the Pain.
Yeah.
You know, it's a mindset.
I mean, let's talk about your DVD, because it really is good. I was watching, Rich has it.
Oh, you did see it?
And,
awesome.
Like, how did that feel doing that? I mean, that had to be so, it's personal.
It was a tough decision, but for years, even my mom saying, you know, all the things that you've been through, write it down. And I'd start to write it, and I was like, you know what? This is just too much work. So long story short, I was approached by Dave Pulcinella. He's pretty well known. You know Dave.
Yeah, Dave's great.
Yeah, his brother approached me and said, how would you like to do a DVD? No writing involved, just be yourself. And he said, but that's the thing is, you got to, you know, be ready for this camera to be,
right.
be in your face. And but I guess once I got to know Mike, and I was like, you know, if this will help somebody else, it became very easy.
Right.
Because each step of the way, I learned something more about myself, and I was getting, you know, really good feedback from Mike and the few people that were seeing the clips. And I was like, this is it. You want to tell a story about the person behind the physique. I don't think that's ever been done.
It hasn't. That's people, bodybuilders aren't just somebody, you know, it's always like, ooh, yeah, this is what I eat. No, there's somebody behind this bodybuilder. And
I know.
And so it's, how do we get this DVD? Tell people how to get this, because I'm telling you, our listeners are going to buy this DVD.
Well, it's really easy. You just go to my website, www.vickynixon.com, and it's in my store.
Perfect.
I'll get it out the next day. I'm good at that. I do it myself. And if you want it signed, just say you want it signed. But I'm really proud of that DVD because I did tell a lot of secrets, a lot of private, you know, parts of Vicky and what has made me who I am. It's what has made me so strong.
And it's gotten really good reviews, too. People that have seen
yeah.
it. If this is not, I'm telling you, this is not like any other DVD you've ever seen. I know people are going to say it really is real. And the videographers, you know how good their work is.
Yeah, and Mike is phenomenal. And we became very good friends. I mean, how can you not when somebody's in your face 24/7 through your most personal moments, you know?
Right.
But yeah, I'm really pleased with the DVD. And I did that as a project for when I'm old and I can't do this anymore, God forbid, I have something to look back on. That's really why I did it.
Right.
And it has gotten really, I'm very blessed to have gotten great reviews. So, yeah.
Well, Vicky, what's the prognosis? Like, here we are today. I mean, you've battled, let's kind of go through the list so everybody knows. You battled hepatitis C. You battled...
Right.
Now, currently, well, a knee injury, which could require eventually a full knee replacement.
Right.
We've got degenerative discs in the L4, L5, T1, T2, right?
And several cervical. And they're thinking they see one, but there may be more. So.
Exactly. So we're going to find that out after the MRI.
You know what my question is, though, Clint?
Do it.
Vicky, I have to ask this.
Sure.
If you have like multiple joints involved, multiple levels of the spine, and I'm a physical therapist, and I practiced for over 7 years already, and, often if someone has so many, degenerative disc issues, herniations and stuff, we limit their training to a real, big degree.
Right.
So have your therapist, while you're going through rehab, told you that you can't do this or you can do this?
Absolutely.
Or have they just let you do what you would like?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, they've begged me because they know the mentality of bodybuilders, especially that we're known to just turn our heads and not do what we're supposed to do.
Uh-huh.
I'm doing everything they tell me to do. For the first time in my life, I can say I'm listening to somebody. And I'm doing my rehab exercises three days a week at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually going to have to go back into physical therapy for my cervical spine and my shoulder again. So at this point, you know what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm doing that.
Finally. You're the ideal patient.
Finally. I was everybody's nightmare before, Chrissy. But, I've come to realize that I am, I'm human. I am not Superwoman anymore, and it's time to back off, but not mm-hmm. quit. I'll never quit.
Never quit.
Never. Never say die,
And I think, this is still who you identify yourself with. And I think the gym, like you said, you're listening, but the fact that you probably had amount of muscle that you had on your body probably saved you, like you said, saved your life.
Yeah, and I met with a little client / friend of mine now. She's going through chemo and cancer and everything, and she said, Vicky, she's only 25. She said, you're my inspiration.
Oh, definitely.
I looked at her and I said, sweetheart, you are my inspiration. I think everybody has a story to tell.
Everybody does.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and as long as you never, look in the mirror and say, oh, poor me, there's a way around everything. You just stay positive. You're blessed to wake up and hear the birds sing and see the sunshine and, you have a good support system. But, yeah, there does come a time when you have to say, I'm human. You have to start mm-hmm. listening to your body and do what you can do without causing further harm.
And I mean, I say personally myself, as I've gotten older, I've had to do that. And I think that the lesson learned, there's a lot of lessons learned after talking to you, but bodybuilders don't think they're human. They really think that they are exempt from anything. And this is where problems can arise, whether it be with whatever you're doing, how you're training, what you're taking, what you're eating, whatever.
Exactly. Yep, addictions in general.
Yep.
That's another thing that I'm so glad I didn't get caught up in that aspect of, the other side, the dark side of bodybuilding deeply. Like so many people do, they get lost in that and they can't get away from it. Mm-hmm. I think that too saved me. I really do. Your body can only take so much of anything.
I know.
But, my prognosis is basically just, not to give up. Like I said, I'm going to see a new pain management doctor because I refuse narcotics, so she's going to do some epidurals. I'm going to keep going through the physical therapy. If it's forever, that's fine with me. I just want to be better and feel better,
So, Vicky, what are you doing now with all this energy? I mean, you know how much energy it took to be a professional bodybuilder. Where, I know you were doing some photography. Talk to me. Where are you putting all this energy? I know it's going somewhere.
Yeah, I'd wanted to do photography, and that requires a lot of time and practice. And, you know, we usually, you and I and Chrissy, we stand on the other end of the camera, and we, you know, pose all pretty, and we don't realize what those photographers really can do and the work mm-hmm. that goes into their end. So I thought, let me try that, you know. Boy, is it tough.
It's hard. It's a lot to it, I know.
It's not just point and shoot and automatic. You know, you're talking speed, aperture, distance, depth of field. I'm playing with that now as much as I can. But and also working with some of my clients. But I'm giving back now, you know. Yeah. I'm giving back to people and not feeling like I'm overwhelmed with me, focusing on me. We're getting ready to move to Florida in 17 months, so we're planting seeds down there for future employment. We just came back from there. I have my two small dogs, my husband, and my family, and, you know, that can be a full-time job, too.
And how is Brian? Because Brian is simply amazing. And make sure you tell him I said it.
Oh, my God.
He's amazing.
Yeah, he deserves all the credit in the world because he has seen me go through so many adversities, and he is fabulous. He has, you know, I think we all have some type of injury, not necessarily from bodybuilding, but his back goes out now and then because he's been an athlete his entire life. But he deals with it, you know. You know how men are. Sometimes they just don't say anything until they're on all fours.
Right, it's so true.
Oh, yes. That's my husband, Vicky.
Right?
Yeah, it's, you know, I've found that poor man on the floor, kitchen floor in the middle of the night at 3 o'clock in the morning, and still refusing after a week to go to the hospital, come to find out he had a ruptured appendix. I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
Oh, my gosh.
I just got a stomachache. But he has been the most precious thing in my life. You know, every time I look at him, I'm thinking, how blessed am I? Because he's there for every single appointment. When I competed, he was there doing my toenails, my fingernails.
He was great.
Brian's awesome. He's in the gym with me 4 days a week. He's not only my partner in the gym, he's my partner in life. I am so blessed.
Yeah, he's a keeper, Vicky.
He's
definitely a keeper.
Everybody wants a Brian.
Yeah, definitely. So, Vicky, when are we going to see you, like, at some of the shows? I mean, I know it's hard. It's got to be hard. I mean,
it is.
To go back because yeah. you want to be there. You want to be on that stage. I mean,
yeah. I had plans of I wanted to see you so bad and see all the girls in New York, but it was 2 days before we were going to go away to Florida.
Too crazy.
Yeah, and I had so much to do. But reality, yeah, it's really hard, and people expect you to look a certain way, and I'm like, I don't look anywhere near I used to look. But I gotta
get over that.
Back in.
Yeah, yeah, get over that. Trust me, they don't.
Yes.
It's.
Yeah, yeah, because we can change our bodies if we wanted to in a matter of months.
Yep.
But anymore, it's not, that's not and shouldn't be as important as it has been to me in the past. So I'm going to go to the AC show. I'm
going
to do some local shows. Tracy Greenwood has two shows this year. I go and support her because I know a lot of the people. And I have clients that are going to be there, so I'm not going to disappear.
No, you're not. You're not allowed.
No, and I still support, you know, your website. I'm on there pushing the girls. I'm never, ever going to disappear completely, ever. You can't get rid of me.
You can't. No, no way.
You know, some people do that. I don't know how they walk away, Colette.
I don't know either. It's like, you know how you sometimes get frustrated. You can't walk away because this is something. It's like you've been around it for so long. There's so many ties. You connect with the people, you know?
Yeah, and I want to support the younger girls and the girls that are still doing it. I can never turn my back on them because, you know, I've made so many good friends.
Yeah.
I could just cry every time I think about the relationships I've made through bodybuilding because we're so different. We understand each other.
We understand each other. It's a little group. It's like a select little subculture. Where I understand what you're saying. You understand what I'm saying. We are all kind of there.
Absolutely. Figure, fitness, all of us, you know, we're all on the same stage, and it's so admirable, you know.
Well, Vicky, you inspired me. Chrissy, I know, you as a physical therapist have to be inspired by this.
Oh, absolutely. That's why I was like, wow, she's an ideal patient. I wish all my patients were like Vicky.
And well, Chrissy, I'm open to anything you want to tell me, so you have my email, you have my number, girl. Shoot me some ideas.
For sure.
You know, you should come out with Colette, all right? Colette hurt her back. I go, if you get on an airplane, come out to Cali, I'm going to fix you.
I wish I had money to jump on a plane to come to Cali.
He's like ready to go. We'll make a road trip, you and I, Vicky. We'll figure it out, you know?
Yeah,
we'll fly around here.
Absolutely.
Well, Vicky, everybody really needs to check out Vicky's website, www.vickynixon.com. Mm-hmm. Check out the DVD. Shoot her an email. She's here. She's alive. She's total inspiration.
Awesome.
And we're always here, Vicky. We always have our guests back on. So anything new and exciting happening? happens, let us know.
Girl, thank you so much. Chrissy, it was a pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much, Vicky. You're an inspiration. Absolutely.
Muscle Girls, Inc.
ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit SpeciesNutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. SpeciesNutrition.com.
If you're a serious athlete, you know you need energy to keep going. Good energy.
I got that JoJo swag.
This is Good Energy. Only 4 calories and no sugar. Essential antioxidants, acai berry, and green tea extracts in pure spring water. 100% fresh and awesome flavor.
I got that JoJo swag.
Now you've got a new workout partner. JoJo Energy.
I got that JoJo swag.
The drink with good energy is coming soon.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
This is IFBB Pro Heather May French, and you are listening to Muscle Girls, Inc.
Brandi Johnson Oldenburg has been involved in the fitness industry since 1992, as both a fitness instructor and a personal trainer. As a child, she battled debilitating asthma and intermittent migraine attacks. She used her fitness regime to help control her symptoms. Her first marriage ended in betrayal, and shortly after that, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. Feeling alone and lost, she was determined to beat her cancer and never stop believing in her dreams. She has now come full circle, opening her own studio, Equilibrium Fitness. This time, life starts on Brandi's terms. Let's find out how this fitness beauty rose from the ashes to become even stronger and more determined than ever thought possible. Brandi, what a story. How are you? When you listen to that, are you like, wow, that's me?
Well, my life has always been very challenging since day one. I've always been an old soul, so I just figure it's always got to be hard. I have to learn lessons the hard way. That's just the way it's got to be. Otherwise, it doesn't get through my thick skull. So,
well, for the listeners out there, you don't know Brandi Johnson, but you will know Brandi Johnson after this interview, and hopefully she'll start to post a little bit more on the RX Muscle, and you'll get to know her, because this girl knows a lot about fitness. She's got a degree in exercise science, a second major in psychology. Her and I went to Michigan State University, for all those MSU fans out there, and she became a full-time fitness professional, and...
And did you get my pictures, by the way? I actually do look healthy.
Right. When I heard this all happened to her, because her and I, it's like, Brandi and I will be friends. It's like, we don't need to talk for 5 years. It doesn't matter. As soon as we get on the phone together, it's like, I never stop talking to her. Mm-hmm. But when I heard everything that happened, I was like, oh my God. And when Chrissy and I came up with this idea for this topic, I'm like, I got to have her on. I don't really care if she never did a show yet, because she will do a show one day. And, it was, you know, something that just had to be talked about, because it kind of hit me so hard. But we'll get into your story, but I want to kind of give people some background on you and kind of how you and I know each other. And her and I actually ran this MSU intramural aerobics program.
The rockin'est ever.
The rockin'est.
For real, though, because they offered me, they had an international search for someone to run their personal training program, and they called me up personally and asked me to run the entire program.
Wow.
For aerobics and personal training. So
yeah.
We did that. We did rock the house.
We
so
did rock it.
Don't
I mean,
discredit it.
I mean, but Chrissy, listen to this. Brandy, tell the story so our listeners can really know how insane I was prior to bodybuilding, the crap I used to do on the aerobic floor. I mean, Brandy said.
It was so vain.
It was bad, right? Tell the story, Brandy.
Okay, I got to hear the story. I got to hear Colette's stories from Brandy.
Yeah, this is good.
Okay, Chrissy, do you ever do step aerobics?
I admit, I used to have the Jane Fonda step in my living room, so I did it for step aerobics.
All right, you remember up, up, down, down, you know, up, up, down, down.
Yes.
Well, Colette decides to throw in a split leap. She's like, up, up, and split leap, down, down, in front of these, like, 19-year-olds who can't even fucking step up on the step. And she busts out this split leap.
Literally a split leap. Like a double toe touch.
Oh, like my acrobat woman. I'm standing there looking, going, oh, my God.
And now Brandy's like, safety first.
I'm like, Colette, I don't think that was the best choreography we should have used for that particular population.
Oh, it was classic. I was a class act, man.
That was so classic, Colette. She was like 4 feet in the air, and she landed on the step.
Oh, my.
Stayed on the beat. And continued in the 32-count phrase. It was hilarious.
Yeah, there's no way I can still do that, Chrissy, by the way. It's really sad.
I was going to say, use it in your next routine.
Yeah, right? Oh, my gosh. Oh, Brandy, I miss those days. The days of yesteryear.
Up, up, split, down, down, and continue. Go. Hey, whatever.
Yeah, me and Brandy, I mean, we would create some of the craziest 32-count combinations of all time. All time.
You guys should do a video.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, Brandy, you know. Well, Brandy's starting a whole new fitness gig, so we got to see what happens on her horizon. There's going to be some.
Oh,
we're going to get her on.
My husband's a video producer. I am working on a video, in fact.
Oh, good. Good.
Anything you want to be involved in?
You just got to get back to Michigan. Well, actually, I'll be back in Michigan in the end of June, so, Brandy, we're definitely going to do lunch.
Either that or we come out to New York.
Yeah, New York is much more fun.
We can
go visit Chrissy in California. That's what
yes,
we should do.
Come visit. I love you.
You're in California?
Yeah.
Yeah, we moved here last year. I live in a small town called Ojai, so it's really cute. Like, there's vineyards here, the beaches are 20 minutes, the mountains are here. It's really gorgeous.
Chrissy, you know, that's Brandy's awesome. Husband is a photographer and videographer. This is something like
really?
A good connection, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he takes beautiful pictures.
Oh. I'd love to.
So if you ever do get the ones that I finally sent, posted, the one that he took with me on the boat, it looks kind of pretty.
Well, let's start from the beginning. All right, Chrissy, let's roll into how, let's kind of hear your story, Brandy. I want to.
Let's roll.
Yeah.
Casey, you can ask the question.
You're currently married to your photographer, videographer husband, but you were previously married. So what went wrong with your first marriage?
Well, if you are into soap operas, in the personal training world, you realize that it is just essentially a soap opera. And if you want to know the real truth, because it usually sells better anyways, I was dating a personal trainer at the MAC, and we were friends with another couple. And okay, so there was Todd and Brandy, Tim and Jen, and my boyfriend Todd and I were friends with Tim and Jen. Well, 4 years into my relationship with Todd, I found him in bed with Jen in my house. So on the rebound, I decided to have a relationship with Tim and therefore married him on the rebound.
Oh, wow.
Thus, didn't really last too long, as you can imagine, because we weren't really meant to be. he was a personal trainer as well. Mm-hmm. And I went and I left the Mac and I went to a personal training studio that I opened up with some fellow trainers. And Tim said he was going to come over there from the Mac. And when he did, a month later after he came over there, he asked for a divorce, which is pretty hurtful because, yeah, I'm like, dude, I just started working here. Why are you invading my space if you don't, you know, if you're not going to be married to me? And so it wasn't meant to be. But then the final straw was one of my good friends, who is a lesbian, is also a hairstylist. She's cutting my hair, and she says, you know, I really want to go back to men. And I'm like, why? She's like, well, Kelly, a personal trainer who I worked with at the trainer studio with my husband, her girlfriend, won't commit. She just doesn't want to have a kid, and I think I'm just going to go back to men. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So then I show up at the trainer studio the next week, and my husband is dating the lesbian.
Oh, I'm telling you, these stories are good today, man. That's a soap opera right there.
It is a soap opera. That is like, seriously, I'm going to write a book. So.
Yeah, no, that's right. That right there, before we get into the rest of your story, is hard to recover from.
That right there is traumatic enough, besides health problems. So that pretty much, like, threw me in a tailspin. It took a month. I, like, bailed out of Lansing. And I canceled all my classes, clients, and said, I need a break. I went up north to visit my family, found a lump in my breast, and then found out I had cancer.
And that was, what, a month after you were devastated with...
all my friends, yeah.
I mean, just imagine, okay, everybody who's listening, put yourself in that situation. You know, your husband cheats on you with your lesbian hairdresser. I mean, and then you find out that you have. Don't you love the way I put this? I'm good. And then you find out a month later that you have a lump in your breast. So I mean, your whole head is all over the place.
Your whole world as you know it. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
Brandy, did you detect the lump yourself, or did your doctor detect the lump?
I actually felt it because the stress of the whole shebang, I had lost some weight, and I could feel this lump in my breast, and my mom said, oh, you know, we have cystic breast, let's get it checked out, and it was indeed a cyst, but when they did the mammogram and ultrasound, they found calcifications, and the doctor said, oh, you know, 1 in 4 are cancerous, no big deal. Then I get the phone call 3 days later. Oh, I just want to let you know that, you know, you were the 1 in 4. And I was just like, oh, my God.
I mean, at that point, were you in shock? Did you not believe it? Did you start crying? I mean, what do you do?
Oh, I didn't cry at all. My dad came over, and we just started, like, talking about, yeah, maybe I should start personal training over at this. It was, like, total denial.
Right.
I was in denial pretty much until I met Mark. I didn't start grieving until I met Mark because he gave me a safe place to grieve. But I couldn't talk about it really, or I hated talking about it, bringing it up. It made me so mad. I hated going to radiation, getting surgeries, the lumpectomies. Oh my God. You know how it is in our industry. We're so into our bodies.
Yep.
I mean, think of you. You're being judged on symmetry, perfection, right? And now I have half a left breast, which of which was my favorite breast, by the way.
Right.
And my bigger one. And they did a very good job. But when I look at it, I have a scar, and I don't mind the scar, but there's no tissue on the side of it. And I look at it every day, and my husband says it's his favorite breast, and he, you know, could obsess me about it, but it's like I've worked since I was 19 to perfect my body, probably because I'm partially, you know, I need a therapist, but that's what we do in this industry, you know?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, in a day, they're like, I mean, he said I had the cancer, and the next week I had a biopsy, and then the next week I was down at U of M getting the lumpectomy, and then it healed, and the next month they said there was more, and then I had to get another one. And then it started the whole process of radiation, where they are putting you under what's like an X-ray. Mm-hmm. And they put permanent tattoos on your body so they can mark exactly where they line up.
Oh, gosh.
And they're really tiny, but I have them for the rest of my life. I have these little black dots.
They remind you every day.
On my body that they use to line where my radiation needed to be. And I see those every day.
I mean,
it's weird.
No, it I can't even imagine. I mean, I think,
and people treat you like a freak show too. People think, people like literally almost walk around you all of a sudden too.
All of a sudden you have cancer, and exactly, they get like it's contagious.
Yeah,
like you could get it.
Mm-mm. Yeah,
there's no compassion.
No compassion at all.
No,
so sad.
What about, like, you know, Brandy, our industry, as you know, and in the fitness industry, it's all about how you look and physical appearance. And how about what you had to go through in terms of, like, did you lose your hair? And how?
I did not lose my hair. I didn't have to go through chemo. And that I was very thankful for.
Very lucky.
I did not lose my hair. That would have really, really, really done it.
I know.
That would have got me.
Hair is
big time.
Yeah, I know. Your hair is, I mean, it's big. That's hard. That's probably one of the hardest things to deal with. So you were lucky on that account.
Yes.
Now, what about the weight loss, though? And let's talk about, because you and I had been friends for a long time, and let's talk about some of our, look, we had a whole show on eating disorders and binge eating and everything.
Yeah, I listened to that one.
So now you know that this is not something that this is very common in our industry. So, and you and I talked about this, the whole issue. Now, how did this affect your eating and how you look and losing weight? I mean, give us that whole feeling.
Well, one of the reasons why I've always had challenges growing up is, I mean, I think partially sometimes I think health problems are stemmed from stress. I believe that. And I had a very stressful upbringing. I'm a child of an alcoholic. So because of that, I think that's one reason why I was always physically sick with migraine attacks or asthma. And so that's why I got into exercise, you know, just to beat it, you know, to have some control. But I also did get into eating disorder behavior to have control over my environment as well. My mom was chronically dieting, even though she was gorgeous and did not need to lose weight. But we have an obese family. So I learned that behavior early. Like when I went into puberty and I went over 100 pounds because I was getting the breasts and hips, I thought I was getting fat when I was 15. And my mom was not mature enough to talk to me about that. So I didn't have a very good understanding of what's a normal body weight, anything like that, just in my youth. So that is one reason why I just kind of went into this industry. And so once I went into college, I started going to therapy, and I did very well getting control of that type of behavior. For a while, it was sort of like exercise bulimia, but never like, you know how bulimics, I think bulimics can binge up to 270,000. Isn't it 27,000 calories?
We can,
you know this.
Yeah, I mean, they can, I mean, I guess it's across the board, but I'm sure that wouldn't be that hard to do.
27,000?
Yeah, like, I mean, do you know, Chrissy?
No, I don't know the number, but 27,000 is a lot.
I've heard that, like,
I think that's true.
Like,
I think that's a true statement. It can be an out of control number.
Yeah, not 4,000, but like literally 27,000.
Yeah, no, I've heard something like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, anyways, I used to maybe like eat like 2 pieces of cheesecake and then need to exercise. You know that bullshit.
Right.
So, anyways, I had 8 years of therapy through college and lots of mental health help. So I really did well with that, and my body has stayed at a pretty normal state, and that's always been between like 125 and 140 depending on how much I'm lifting, and I'm a 5'5" woman. But cancer, I got down to 110 in like 3 months.
Wow.
And me at 110 looked like me anorexic in high school. Well, all of a sudden, and I couldn't eat, like my favorite foods, like carrot cake, I could take a bite of it, and it was, like, gross to me.
Well, that's what happens. That's from the radiation, right? It totally changes your taste buds, and you lose your appetite.
Really?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot that goes on in terms of, like, how to do nutritional support, because it's like you just don't want to eat, and you're usually nauseous. Were you nauseous all the time?
Yeah. So nauseous.
Chrissy, that's when we needed to get her some chained out.
I know.
Because that stuff tastes, you know, that so she get the extra branched chain amino acids.
Yeah, my dad had radiation, and his taste buds were like that also. Yeah. It affected his taste buds severely.
It's just really weird. It was like I was in a bubble, though. It's like they don't have a full branch. I don't know if in my area, but they don't have the full holistic cancer support thing. It's like, here's your radiation, here's some nausea pills, but that was it. And I mean, it was like so skinny, like I couldn't even get into small in the teen pants, and it's like I couldn't even get it find a smaller size. It was so stupid.
But that's so scary. Someone that loves their body, and you've worked so hard on your body, and then to have that happen, it's got to eat you up mentally. It just has to.
But the sick thing, Colette, is I then started to like it, because then I didn't have any skin to pinch, and so now I'm up to 125, and now I think I'm fat.
That's that head of yours playing with you, and that's a scary thing, and that's how strong of a grip body image can have on your mind. And
yeah.
And that's what you should remember. 5'5", 5'5", and 125 is an absolute, that's the perfect normal weight for somebody that's 5'5". You know, so that you're actually perfect. So if you went to a nutritionist, we'd say you're exactly where you need to be. So you gotta, you know, you gotta challenge that mind of yours that's wanting that, you know, that or that was appreciating that look. Because that's not
but, you
what
know,
your health
if you
is.
Do figure, you'd have to, if I do a figure show, you'd have to diet down.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, it's a different, it's such a different process when you get ready for a show. And I know that Brandy is thinking about, you know, that this kind of, I think when you go full circle with where, you know, you've come from, it's like the next challenge is wanting to step on stage and say, you know what, and step out of where you are and say, look at what I've done and come and been through. And it's a different 125. That's all I have to say. Like
it's kind of like you put it in a different compartment.
Yep, you totally do. Like, yeah, you might lose maybe 5 or 6 pounds. You wouldn't go down to 110. It doesn't happen like that. You'd kind of you'd recompartmentalize your body when you get ready for that whole, because you get ready for a show 16 weeks out. Your training, your mind, your diet, everything changes. And I'm telling you, after this show, I mean, I really would like to see you do a show one day, because you got Chrissy, I mean, no one knows this girl yet. She's got the cutest little body, the greatest little face, tons of charisma, and it's just like I say. I don't even care about winning or losing. It's like the journey along the way.
Yeah.
And it's amazing everything that she's gone through already. And I have to ask Brandy, you know, cancer had affected my family. I lost both my parents to cancer, and it really changed my outlook. You know, it changed my outlook on the world, about people, about life in general. How has it changed your view? And, you know, has it made you a stronger person? How has their whole dealing with breast cancer changed you?
Well, I went through a pretty bad depression for a while, and then all of a sudden I was like, I don't even know why anybody is living. Why? It was like, you know, existentialism. I'm like, what's the purpose of living? Because this is ridiculous, because you know, I did all this stuff to make my career and my body great, and now I'm just going to die. What the hell? Why was I even born? You know, why did I fight asthma? And why do I have to be in pain when I get migraines and now I have this? It's like, I was so bitter, you know? I was like, why am I even alive? And then I got through that anger. You know, I did sort of the grief stages. And now, for me, pretty much I have it narrowed down to really the only reasons I see that are to live is to be good to yourself and to be good to others and
love. So I believe that love is what makes the world go round. So mm-hmm. to be good to me and to be good to others. So make sure I do good things for other people every day. So like in my career, you know, I'm always doing something good for others. And if I do that, it ends up being profitable. I make money mm-hmm. off it. But I'm never doing something with the intent to make money that would be harmful. I'm always doing something good, and in turn, if it makes me money, great. Mm-hmm. But I don't do anything to make money that has poor intent. So I figure if, I mean, I went bankrupt, lost a $40,000 Audi, I lost my condo, I lost my $60,000 a year career, I lost everything. And in losing everything, I realized that I actually had nothing then, and I have everything now.
Wow, that's nicely said. That is mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. I mean, it's like I get to talk to Colette again. My God, how lucky am I?
It all comes. You know what? It all comes full circle. Life is it's all full circle, and it's coming around again. And you never gave up, and you're seeing life through different eyes, and these eyes are so much more alive and awake, and it like the future, you're holding it right in the palm of your hand, and I can't wait to see what you're going to do next, because you just started life again, and if we could all be reborn, if we could all be reborn,
I interrupted, I'm sorry.
No, it's like if we could all be reborn again, and it's hard to do that. You're like reborn again. You're like living life twice.
Pretty much. Christy, did that answer your question?
Yes, that was good. It answered it perfectly.
Well, Brandy, how can people get in touch with you? I mean, is there any way that people can find out more about your new business, Equilibrium Fitness, and other business aspirations, and ask you questions? I mean, what's the best way? Do you have a website? Do you have any MySpace, any way of getting in touch with you?
I don't have a website yet. I think I should. Do you guys do MySpace for your business? Or no, I'm sorry, Facebook, I guess, is what most people are doing.
It's like apples and oranges. What do you like? An apple and orange? Facebook, mm-hmm. MySpace. Do you have a Facebook, though? Are you on Facebook?
I'm going to start a Facebook page. It's been recommended to me like six times, so I'm going to suck it up. But in the meantime, people can just email me at brandyj75@yahoo.com.
Brandy, like B-R-A-N-D-I, right?
Yep.
75@yahoo.com.
Yep.
Give her an email, you guys. She's the most inspirational woman, one of my best friends, a good person, and I'm telling you, like I said, this industry is very like, ooh, who are they? But it's mm-hmm. not who is she, it's who will she be, because you will see her on a stage someday in the near future. So remember the name Brandy Johnson Oldenburg, because you will see her soon enough.
So in your industry, everyone's like, oh, you're not popular, so I don't want to talk to you.
It's so funny.
You guys are such dorks.
We are such dorks, I know. I'm the biggest one, Brandy, you know that. I'm the one that did a toe touch on a
popular. Well, no, you're prima donna. I mean, but I worship you, so that's okay, but.
So cute. God, that's what I love about Brandy. She really breaks it down.
You can be super cool, but I mean,
listen, she's not that cool yet, but she will be cool. All right, everybody.
Right? Yeah.
Oh,
not
Brandy.
Cool unless your name's big.
Right.
If your name is something, then that means you're like the ultimate person.
It's a cynical world, Brandy. It's a very cynical world. You know this. Oh, thank you so much for coming on. We got to catch up later on tonight, and. Yeah. We really enjoyed your story, and thank you for being so honest and inspiring us all.
Muscle Girls, Inc.
ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent, legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Receive
Restore. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit speciesnutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. SpeciesNutrition.com.
If you're a serious athlete, you know you need energy to keep going. Good energy.
I got that JoJo swag.
This is good energy. Only 4 calories and no sugar. Essential antioxidants, acai berry, and green tea extracts in pure spring water. 100% fresh and awesome flavor.
I got that JoJo swag.
Now you've got a new workout partner. JoJo Energy.
I got that JoJo swag.
The drink with good energy is coming soon.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Hi, this is Gina Aliotti, IFBB Figure Pro, and you are listening to Muscle Girls Inc.
Our next guest is an inspiring NPC figure competitor who had a 6-inch tumor in her chest and was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma at the age of 22. After undergoing chemo and radiation, she was in remission by the age of 23. 18 years later, and she is still cured. Then, just last year, she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer and underwent a total abdominal hysterectomy. Despite numerous doctors telling her that she will never compete again, she is determined to prove them wrong, and she is now 6.5 weeks out from competing at the NPC Empire State Show, which lands right after her 41st birthday. Please welcome the incredible Jill Cleaning to our show. Welcome to Muscle Girls Inc., Jill.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Nice to meet you, Jill. What a story.
Oh, thank you. What a life.
Yeah, what a life, yeah.
No, Colette was like, we need inspiring people. I was like, ooh, I think I just have the person. So we want to tell everyone a little about your story. So you were first diagnosed with cancer at the age of 22. Do you remember exactly what was going through your mind when you were first diagnosed?
When I was first diagnosed, my first thought was, I'm a goner. I thought I was dead. That was the end of me. I actually got up and I walked out of the doctor's office. I left my family with the doctor and I just walked away. I didn't even wait to hear the biopsy results, what stage I was in, what my course of treatment was going to be. I just said, yeah, I'm going to die, and I left.
Wow.
It was really hard, especially at the age of 22.
And then you started with, okay, so you had to accept that. You find yourself, I'm 22 years old, I'm going to die. And at 22, right. You don't even have the life experience, I think, to even have any other way of thinking. I have to agree with you. I mean, you're 22 years old. It's like it's over, you know?
No, my oncologist said the same thing to me. He actually thought that because of my age and the way that I was behaving, that I wasn't taking it seriously.
Right.
And he just sat me down in his office, and the first words out of his mouth was, if I don't treat you, you're going to die.
Gosh.
I just lost it.
And so how was this going, what was this like going through the chemo and the radiation at 22 years old and you're starting your life, and how do you deal with that?
It was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. It's the worst, as losing your hair. So that was horrible as a woman and as a young woman to just lose your hair. Ugh. I mean, it just coming out in clumps. I had very long hair. I had to cut it short. It was falling out in clumps. I was dating somebody for about 4 years who said he wanted to marry me when I went into remission, and he dumped me within 4 months of my treatment. That was very difficult to deal with. The chemo was horrible. The radiation was horrible. I used to sit on the floor just vomiting, getting sick from the chemo. I used to beg my mother to just let me die because I didn't want to do it anymore. And something just pulls you through.
And now, how long did you go? So you're 22, you get diagnosed. How long did you have to go through? What's the period between diagnosis to when they say to you, you know what? You can live your life now.
That's hard to explain. I actually thought it was about 5 to 7 years remission before you're cured.
Mm-hmm.
I asked my oncologist at about the 7 year mark if I was cured, and he said, no, you're cured when I tell you you're cured. My doctor was like, okay, fine, that's great. And I would say at about my 15 year mark, he told me I was cured.
I mean, but what goes through your mind? Like, how do you plan? How do you say, like, if you think in the back of your mind, I'm not, it's like you need to hear that. I would need to hear that. How do you, like, you know, I had dreams, you know, I had dreams that would take so long. I mean, how do you get your mind to say, okay, I'm not cured, but yet I still have dreams. I still want to do something with my life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You go ahead and you do it. You live your life. You go ahead and you do it as if. I separate myself as if I wasn't sick anymore.
That's what you have to do.
And I didn't think of myself as being sick. If I had certain symptoms when I actually got sick, like I'll have problems if I get up a respiratory infection. I will actually, because my lungs are damaged from the radiation, I will actually cough up inflammation and pieces of my lung. Not pieces of my lung, but the inflammation from inside your lungs because my lungs can't take it. That will make me think, oh my God, I'm getting sick again. If I get back pain, any type of back pain, I think, oh my God, I have cancer again. You can't help it. It runs through your mind, but you've got to just push it aside and keep going.
Now, Colette, Jill's amazing because even though she was going through all these symptoms, she was still working. So, Jill, how did you find the strength to still work through having all these symptoms?
Working was actually the best thing in the world for me because you become so antisocial, you don't want people to see you. I went from being 130 pounds to 170 pounds in 6 months from all the steroids from the chemotherapy that I was on. You don't want anybody to see you. People look at you strange when you go out in public. You almost feel like a freak, so to speak, so you kind of seclude yourself in your house. So the only thing I really had was work. And I loved going to work. If I didn't have my job, I don't know what I would have done.
Now, what did you do for a living?
Police dispatch. I'm a 911 operator.
Oh, so that I could see where.
I've been doing it since I was 19 years old. I've been a dispatcher.
Wow.
And my chief at the time where I was working actually changed my days off to accommodate my chemotherapy and the day after. So work was absolutely phenomenal with me.
Wow.
And it was my place to be. I loved being there.
So you're 22, you go through all this. It's not till 15 years later, so what, you were 37 when they finally said you were finally cured?
And that was actually the last time I went and saw my oncologist. He actually looked at me and said, why are you here?
You're like, I need to hear.
I have to come every 2 years for my checkup. He said, well, you don't have to come anymore. And that was the end of that.
So let's go to like your 30th birthday, and you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, so I guess your father actually nicknamed you Thunder Thighs.
That
is so cute. Jill, my father nicknamed me the same thing.
Well, Chrissy, your thighs are beyond hot. So, and Jill, I saw
agree.
Your thighs in a recent picture. They're looking pretty good to me, too.
Thank you.
So how did you, is this what started you into training?
Yeah, I mean, it got to the point where I looked at myself and I was unhappy with the way that I looked. I went from being somebody from high school, being in shape, running track, being active, doing things, to being a basic slug, more or less. Just, hey, let's go out. Let me go partying with my friends. I went out. I stayed out too late. Let me sleep all day. Oh, time to go to work again. You know, you're sitting on the desk. People are bringing in all kinds of food. You're eating whatever it is you want to eat because when you were younger, it never caught up with you. As you get older, it catches up. And I just took a look at myself in the mirror one day, and I just went, enough's enough. You fought for your life, and now you're killing yourself. And off to the gym I went, and that was that.
Then how did you first get started into figure competitions? You started training, but when did you get involved into competing in figure competitions?
My trainer, Richie Smythe, actually got me into training for figure competition. I went to him. I started training with him through my sister. My sister kept saying, come work with my trainer, come work with him. I'm like, yeah, I'm at my gym. I have a trainer here. I went with her one day and just never looked back. So now I'm getting in shape for my wedding, and Richie and I are training, and I'm dropping the body fat. You know, I'm just nailing it. And he takes one look at me and says to me, you really ought to do a figure show. He said, you look fantastic. I'm like, you think? He's like, yeah, I think you should do it. And I said, let's go for it. 3 months out from my first show, we started doing it. And 2 weeks before my wedding, I went into the first show, and I got third place.
Wow. That's empowering after everything, you know, you've been to. Now, how old are you now? I hate to ask. I mean, you don't have to answer that if it's
I am 40. I will be 41 in July.
Well, let's go back to last year, okay? Yeah, your life, I mean, wow, it's coming full circle, and you're starting to get on stage, you're doing figure competitions, and then you're hit with another situation. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I was hit with ovarian cancer. I think I must have the sign on me that says cancer over here kind of thing.
I mean, what do you do, though? What do you do when that happens? What do you say to yourself? Like, are you serious?
When the doctor called me up to tell me the results, I had abdominal pain. And I went to the doctor, and I found out that I had an ovarian cyst, and the doctor started watching it, and they tried different methods to make it shrink. And they used birth control pills to actually make it shrink the hormone.
Okay.
And nothing was making it shrink. So my doctor finally said, look, we got to get this out. We have to see what it is. And I said, fine. And generally, these things are benign, you know, the whole nine yards. So I went, I had the surgery, had it removed, and within 3 days, he called me up to tell me that it was cancer. And I just, normally when you hear ovarian cancer, by the time they find that, you're basically more or less gone. And that was my thought yet again. I just hung up the phone, went right downstairs to my husband, started crying. I was like, I'm going to die. I have ovarian cancer. And he looked at me, he was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I have ovarian cancer.
So
I had to call my doctor and get all the information from that.
But you had everything removed. Did they take everything out so that...
They took everything. What I had is something called a borderline serous tumor, which is a tumor that runs up the middle. You have tumors that are benign and tumors that are malignant. This is technically a malignant tumor, but because it's such a slow-growing tumor and a slow-growing cancer, I could have kept going for years with this in me without it actually starting to spread.
That's scary.
So what they needed to do was actually remove the... If this was gone, now they needed to remove the ovary because the ovary had the cancer cells in it. So my surgeon basically more or less said, I'm not going to perform a hysterectomy on you. All I'm doing is taking out your ovary, which I was very happy about because who wants to lose what you feel is your essence of you on top of all of your hormones? And I went into surgery, and he said, if I find any other bad tissue, I'm going to have to take it out of you. You do understand that. I said, it's not a problem. Get it out. And I woke up, and everything was gone.
Wow. Wow. I'm like, you're a very amazing woman to be. It's just, you know, you just, like you said, you just got to keep living.
You have no choice.
Because what are the other options? Tell me what they are. Not living, and then that's death. So
exactly.
Yeah. And how is training? That must have like saved you in a sense. It gives you probably a sense of empowerment.
It absolutely did. First of all, I think that I did so well with my surgery to begin with because I was in such fantastic shape from being in the gym to begin with.
Yeah.
I think I recovered amazingly quick because of the shape that I was in from being in the gym. My actual question to my doctor 3 days after surgery was, when can I go back to the gym? I feel fine. And he just looked at me, he said, you just had major surgery. I said, yeah, I know, I feel fine. Can I at least go walk on the treadmill?
Right.
He knew I was going to do it, and he just said, go ahead, walk on the treadmill. That's exactly what I did.
I love it.
I just started right back.
Jill, let me ask. All these doctors are telling you, oh, you'll never compete again, you'll never compete again. You're obviously proving them wrong. You're training. You're competing in about 6.5 weeks. So how is your prep going this time around?
I'm sorry, how's my what?
How is your prep going?
Oh, my prep is going great. It is going absolutely great. Right before I called you, my suit came in the mail. I was extremely excited. But it's going amazing. I can't believe how well I'm doing and how good I look when I really didn't even have all that much of it. I didn't even have an off season. I was so busy trying to figure out my body and my hormones. There was no way I was going to try and put any type of size on if I didn't know if I could take it off. So I'm actually surprised by how well I look. I've already beat myself from the last time I was on stage, and that's what I set out to do, to prove the doctors wrong and to beat myself and to prove that I can do it. And I've done it.
I mean, you've already...
not even on stage.
Yeah, you've already won. To me, you've already won. And you have been, like... very, very inspiring, and I would love to see pictures. So if you send them to Chrissy, please send them to me too, and we'll put like we could even put like a thread up there, because this is like, it's so inspiring to see you doing it, not stopping. You know how many people, Chrissy, you can attest to this, that you work with, that, you know, something happens that seems so menial, and they say, I can't do it, I can't compete, you know, and this is sad, but like my dog died, and I believe me, dogs are like your children, but they just end up abandoning everything. And here you have gone through two bouts of cancer, a whole total change in your body when they remove the full hysterectomy, and yet you said, you know what, I'm going to live.
I'm still going to do it.
So
I just think that people come up with too many excuses to not do things.
I agree.
And I just think that especially when it came from a female endocrinologist that said to me, this is what happens when you hit menopause, and the sooner you accept it, the better off you'll be. I couldn't believe that came out of a woman's mouth. Look at me. I have all this weight around my middle. It's what happens. Accept it.
Oh, great.
I was like, are you kidding me?
You chose not to accept it, and I'm so glad you didn't.
I told my general practitioner that, and he took one look at me and said, I know nothing about menopause. That's not my specialty. He says, but I think that's a bunch of bull, and I don't think you should give up. And so you find exactly what it is you need to do to get up there. And his words in my head is what stuck in my head, and I said, that's it, and I set out to find a way. And I did. I found it with him, my trainer, and my doctors. We found a way, and I'm getting up there.
Well, best of luck, Jill, at the Empire States. We'd love to hear from you.
Thank you.
How can people... do you have a website? Do you have any way people can get in touch with you?
I actually finally just started a Facebook today. I'm not very good at it. I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm obviously on Muscle RX. RX Muscle. My screen name is NPC Figure 40.
NPC Figure 40. You got to hit her up for some questions, you guys. You will get some love from the listeners, and definitely, definitely let us know how you do. And we got you off to work in time. We did good. So it's like,
yes, you did.
You will make it. You will not get fired. You will save lives today. And we really appreciate you being on the show, Jill.
Thank you so much for having me.
Chrissy, what a great guest. You were right. She's quite a character.
Yeah, I was like, you know, and when you... I was like, wow, I love Colette's idea. It's an awesome idea for a show. And then I was like, who do I know? And I was like, I know who. And I, you know, searched for her, and I was like, where's her email? And then I emailed her, and she was like, I am so flattered because you guys always have, like, pros on your show or top-level national people, and I've only done, like, a couple local shows, so thank you so much. Like, she was just so excited to come on.
Well, you know, I'd like to thank all of your guests because, you know, yes, we have Vicki Nixon, who is an IFBB pro, but I appreciate all women that do this. I don't care if you're just, you know, a personal trainer, a fitness professional. You have the same feelings that we all do, and and we're all kind of speaking the same language. And I really appreciate Brandi Johnson Oldenburg and Jill Crean for stopping by and sharing really personal stories, because that's not always easy to do. And I really hope that this inspires somebody out there listening that didn't want to wake up this morning and get to the gym because something tragic happened to their life. Well, I think all three guests had some serious tragedy, and I think you know, they said it best. What else are you going to do, Chrissy? Live or not live?
Mm-hmm.
You got to choose life. You know, you got to choose life. So, with that, until next week, remember, Muscle Girls, Inc., it's not just a radio show.
It is who we are.
Muscle Girls, Inc. is an RxMuscle.com presentation. Listen to Colette Nelson and Chrissy Chin every week at the same time. Be sure to download this and all of our radio shows at our website, RxMuscle.com. This has been Muscle Girls, Inc.